642 18 till 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL. SCOTUS is done. The Supreme Court is done for the session, I think. Maybe. I'm not even sure about that. Dane Ciolino joins us now, professor of law at Loyola. How you doing, Dane?
Just fine, Tommy. Morning.
Morning. As I was saying that they're done for the session, I realized I remember hearing something yesterday that they could hear some kind of emergency something or the other. Am I making that up or not?
Well, they could always hear emergency applications anytime between now and the formal opening of the next term, which is the first Monday in October. But yeah, they announced the last round of decisions from the 2024 term. On Friday morning, actually. Yeah.
Let's talk about, I guess, the biggest one was the birthright citizenship. But was it about birthright citizenship or about the role of courts?
Yeah, it wasn't about birthright citizenship at all. That was the underlying case. But they only agreed to review the narrow issue, but important issue, of whether lower federal courts have the power to issue universal injunctions that are applicable all over the United States. Many found it odd that a single district judge in Monroe, Louisiana, could enjoin the enforcement of executive orders and federal statutes all over the country. And the court on Friday substantially cut back on the authority of federal district courts to do just that and held that universal injunctions, unless there's some particular circumstance that requires it to give relief to a party in a particular case, universal injunctions are no longer going to be allowed.
So let me take you back for a second and go through the procedure here. We're talking about, when we say district courts, we're talking about federal district courts, not state courts, right?
Correct.
So, and I saw on some of the Sunday morning shows yesterday, I think it was Lindsey Graham that said both sides, the Republicans and the Democrats, are going to be griping about this in the future because they both went judge shopping. Explain what that means, if you will, and how it's happened in the past with district judges, I guess federal judges, to stop whatever it is you didn't like and then, I guess, for the time being, issue an injunction. That's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, I mean, forum shopping, judge shopping has been going on for a very long time, and we saw it actually in Louisiana. I think this makes it particularly pertinent to Louisiana because during the Biden administration, plaintiffs challenging Joe Biden's supported legislation and executive orders chose to bring lawsuits to challenge the constitutionality of the Biden administration's actions in the Western District of Louisiana, which is the federal district that includes Monroe, Shreveport, Lafayette, Alexandria, because there were some Trump-appointed judges who those plaintiffs believed would give them a favorable ear to their arguments. So we saw a number of injunctions, nationwide injunctions, come out of Monroe. And at the time, the Democrats and supporters of the Biden administration were decrying the universal injunction, saying that they were inappropriate. Well, now the shoe's on the other foot, and federal judges leaning Democrat have imposed universal injunctions on the Trump administration, and now Republicans are complaining about universal injunctions. So, yeah, I mean, this is one of these issues that's not really – it shouldn't be viewed as a partisan issue, but really as a question of what is the appropriate role of lower federal courts in the federal government. And what the Supreme Court said on Friday is that they certainly have a role to play, but it's not in issuing nationwide injunctions to stop federal laws and executive orders across the country.
Well, what does Marbury v. Madison have to do with this?
Yeah, that's the first case that every law student reads in constitutional law, and that essentially established that federal courts have the ability to review laws passed by Congress and signed into law by the executive branch for constitutionality. It gives essentially the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, the last word on what the law is and what the Constitution means.
So does this change that at all, or is Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson kind of overreacting. She called it a zone of lawlessness with in which the executive has a prerogative to take or leave the law as it wishes. Is that kind of like a dramatic statement? Because it seems as though...
Yeah. The Internet, of course, all weekend has been lighting up about the supposed smackdown that Amy Coney Barrett gave to Ketanji Brown in the majority opinion, essentially saying that it is a lot of hyperbole and that the majority's opinion really is all about curbing and preventing an imperial judiciary as opposed to an imperial executive branch.
But this doesn't, what happened on Friday has nothing to do with the Supreme Court having power over the executive branch, does it? Or is it just about...
No, not at all. Not at all.
That's what I think.
Yeah, not at all.
Is, right?
That's right. Although that issue wasn't squarely presented, I think everyone seems to agree that if the Supreme Court speaks on the constitutionality of a federal statute or executive order, that will be the last word, and that will apply across the country, whether it's by way of injunction or binding precedent that the other branches will follow, I think may remain to be seen. But I think everybody understands that as a matter of principle, the Supreme Court will make the final decision on all things constitutional, and everybody's going to have to respect that opinion.
Right, let me take a break. We come back. I want to talk about a couple of different things, one of which is what happens to the birthright citizenship case now, because I don't know what the situation is. Are people born here in the country citizens or not? And I don't know what the president ordered, what effect an executive order has. Is an executive order binding until the Supreme Court rules on it? I don't know what happens from here. And we'll talk about some more stuff with Dane Salino when we return. 6:50, 10 till 7, traffic now, WWL. 6:52, 8 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Dane Salino, professor of law at Loyola, our friend, about the Supreme Court ruling. So when it comes to birthright citizenship, the president's executive order said what? The district court did what? And now the Supreme Court ruling does what as far as all of that goes?
Yeah, shortly after taking office, President Trump signed an executive order essentially interpreting the 14th Amendment to not confer birthright citizenship on all people born in the United States. And that was almost immediately challenged in federal district court. At least two or three federal district judges issued nationwide injunctions prohibiting that executive order from having any effect. That's what the Supreme Court considered on Friday and ruled that those nationwide injunctions are not appropriate. So the court essentially remanded or sent back to the lower courts all of those cases, and pretty shortly after it did so, at least one of the plaintiffs amended his lawsuit to make it a class action lawsuit, and that's somewhat of a workaround of this new universal injunction principle that the court laid out on Friday. So that's what we're going to see now. I mean, we're not going to see the end of nationwide relief. It's just going to have to be done in a procedurally different manner through the cumbersome and more lengthy process of class certification. So that's what's going on right now. So I think the short answer is as we speak right now on Monday morning, those injunctions are still in place, at least as to the individual plaintiffs involved. But once these lawsuits are amended to make them class actions, I think we'll eventually see broader relief than that, which was discussed on Friday, namely that the relief would extend only to the individual named parties in the lawsuits. I think we're going to see some class relief. And eventually it's going to get back to the U.S. Supreme Court, and they're going to rule on the actual merits of the issue of whether the 14th Amendment provides for birthright citizenship.
So what would that, first of all, if somebody is visiting from, I don't know, Canada, pick a country, Norway, and they have a baby here in the United States, as far as the law says now, that baby is a U.S. citizen?
He or she is, yes.
He or she is, okay. So with the president, with what the Supreme Court said and what the president's executive order says, does any of that change if people are visiting here or whatever and they have a child here? Is that child an American citizen, or is that to be determined later?
Well, that's what President Trump was seeking to change through through his executive order issued in January.
But did he?
Well, that's what the issue was all about. The answer is yes, he did, as to those who are here illegally. But whether that's going to have any effect going forward still remains to be decided, because the court didn't address the merits of the constitutional argument.
So did his executive order say just for, and I don't mean to catch you off guard here, but his executive order just applied to children of those who were here illegally? So if they were here on vacation or with a visa or whatever, then it would not apply to them?
Yeah, good question. I know it applied to those, you know, so-called illegal or undocumented aliens. Whether it applied to people who were here on tourist visas, I don't think it did. But again, I'm, like you said, you caught me cold on that.
Yeah,
one.
Well, I didn't mean to. I was just curious about that, because it's a big deal, and people don't know, I don't think, where they stand. Let's talk about executive orders in general, Dane, and how they apply to the Constitution and what's law, what's not. I know a lot of presidents, Democrat and Republican, have begun to use them because Congress has kind of abdicated a lot of their duties to the president, and President Trump saying, you know what, you don't want to do it? Fine, I'll do it. That's pretty much what's happening here.
Well, it's been happening for decades and decades.
It's been expanding, right? Exactly.
The presidents have taken more and more prerogative to try to get things done, so to speak, by way of executive order rather than by way of having Congress pass bills and present them to the press, to the executive for signing into law. So, yeah, I mean, what President Trump is doing is has started doing on the day of his inauguration is issue executive order after executive order to implement some of his campaign promises. Is that uncommon? No, but he's certainly done it at a rate and a pace that is unprecedented. But yeah, I mean, presidents have been doing executive orders for quite a long time, and some are far reaching and have enormous policy effects. Certainly not what the founders would have imagined back at the time of the founding, but that's where executive power has gone.
So I guess I'm trying to understand the law. Is it always black and white, or is the law mostly gray?
Well, I mean, it depends. I mean, there is a proper scope for executive authority under Article 2 of the Constitution, and that's the Supreme Court is often deciding these structural cases about where the executive can go and when it's gone too far. And President Trump is certainly pushing all the boundaries of those constitutional questions.
All right. So anything else about the Supreme Court rulings that got your attention, Dane, that came out?
Yeah, just the most important for Louisiana, the Louisiana redistricting case that involves whether the black majority district that put Cleo Fields back into Congress is constitutional, was punted until October. I think it's going to be re-argued again in early October, and we'll see what happens shortly thereafter.
Thank you. Appreciate your time as always, Dane. Have a nice 4th of July. Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola, our friend. When we come back, we'll talk to Jeremy Alford, editor and publisher of La Politics Weekly. Louisiana moving to a closed primary system for some races next year. We'll go over those changes. Also talk about how Royce DuPlessis is viewed in Baton Rouge. And then we'll talk to Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member, about the travel ban being knocked down, latest on the Wisner Trust, and more. A lot coming up. Stay with us. Tommy Tucker, Monday morning, or Tuesday, if you consider it's a short week. Back in a flash, WWL.